Welcome to SEN's coverage of the Olympic Games 2020. For Mate Communications, award-winning Aussie service and a bonus Tidal music subscription included on selected mobile plans. And Xero, invoicing but instantly, receipts but organised, cash flow but clearer. Try Xero free for 30 days. Search Xero, X-E-R-O.
The Tokyo Games hold us in thrall as we come to day 10 of competition. In this hour, the women's 200 metres heats at the track, so we'll bring those to you. The Rebel Sport Olympic medal tally, sporting dreams start at Rebel, rebelsport.com.au. Australia, 14 gold medals, 3 silver and 14 bronze. So I've never looked forward to a conversation with Crash quite as much as this, to tap the wisdom and experience of Robert Craddock. Crash, good morning.
I feel the same, Jared. I mean, we said in previous crosses that there would be no middle ground for these games. They would either be completely and utterly uplifting and a triumph of the human spirit, or a disaster, and they've been Category A. They've been quite beautiful, and I've enjoyed your coverage. And I mean, we're in lockdown up in Brisbane now, and, you know, the streets are deserted and you can feel the televisions going on in the household. It's quite extraordinary.
It seems to me that each gold medal, and it doesn't stop there for its worth, it's just had a little sprinkle of fairy dust on it. And the way that it has tapped our emotions, so we lived through it in real time with Jess Fox in particular last week. But just this morning, I'm a 33-year-old who's off to the gym for a run for the first time in months, thanks to Browning and Bowles. So inspiring. This is the core of the Olympics, is how it can move us as the people of the world.
Well, stardust is the word, Jared. I mean, and I was up last week and we crossed at the Parents Hub in Noosa. Just to hear Taylor McEwen say how she was just off the phone to Kaylee, and Kaylee said about her late father, "Do you know what? My tank was empty. I had nothing left, and he found me in the pool. He gave me, in the last 25 minutes, he pushed me to the wall." I mean, that's a story that'll live forever. And you mentioned Jess Fox, the heartbreak of that. You know, and even Kate Campbell yesterday, Jared.
Oh, yeah.
She started by 0.014, the relay touch was legal. Had that not been legal, that would have ruined her for the next 5 years. Honestly, Kate would have been inconsolable had she lost that gold medal, but she got it absolutely pitch perfect. So I just think it is so uplifting, and it makes all of our sport seem like district seconds compared to it, doesn't it?
That's the beauty of the Olympics, and there's just something special going on here. So I got a few different threads for you, Crash. The first is, what does it take to win Olympic gold? And I frame it through two. So I've spoken with Ariane Titmus this morning. A family moving states for a 14-year-old who shows just enough to tempt a family to give her the best possible opportunity. And then I take Logan Martin, who's watching his sport improve exponentially. And his way to keep pace, to stay at the front of it, is to find a property big enough to be able to build a track out the back during these COVID times. So to invest his $70,000 to build the full-size track so that he can prepare himself for a run at gold. That's what it takes. So there's the notion of winning gold, but then it really gets down to how much are you prepared to sacrifice and invest in that quest?
And Jared, you know what? That's very well put, those two stories. They're classic examples. And when Steve Titmus, who was, of course, a newsreader in Launceston, when he and his wife moved to Brisbane, they didn't have jobs. And I spoke to her father, Kevin, who was at the Parents Hub, and I said, "Were you worried about it?" And they said, "Of course we were." They said, "Like, you know, you think of how many promising 14-year-old swimmers there are to move states on the hope that they get there. It's not like AFL when you're in this massive draft and you could be one of 150 kids that make it. As Kieran Perkins always said, 0.001 of kids make a living out of swimming. Now, she'll be set up nicely now, but, and I have to say, so what the common thread with a lot of the success stories I'm finding from the parents, they let the coaches coach. Ash Barty's parents did it. Steve Titmus did it. And there's a new unity in the swim team, Jared. And I saw some beautiful work from Andrew Horton, Mac Horton's father, he's in charge in Melbourne of a firm of 80 people. He's the boss. When he went into the swimming hub last week, he led a week of service. Like, he's the one rushing around with the chocolate strawberries or the, you know, are you okay? Can I get you a drink? You know what I mean? He suddenly morphed into that. And all that helps. The players, the swimmers are ringing up Noosa and finding their parents just as happy to be there as they were in Tokyo. So, and Logan Martin, well, I have to say it, Jared, that area where he comes from, that's where Cameron Smith hails from. He's just a shandy up the road from where Logan has that thing. Savage Garden, the rock group, the Little Battlers who went into the music store near Logan City there, and they took home a few records they like and built an empire, you know, all those great songs to the moon and back. Logan City just produces these kids, not only just with a heart of gold, but with a will of steel. That they're just fearless. And that's what drove Martin. He just said he was relentless. And what I especially liked, he was everyone's tip for the gold medal. And he's coming into these games like, yeah, I like Logan Martin. I like Logan Martin. Logan from Logan. Yes. You know, it's just incredible.
It is beautiful. Robert Craddock for the Doc Shop, Melbourne's first choice for secure document destruction. And then there's Matt Wern. So what about the images of the sailing team going up and picking up the dinghy, Cool Runnings style, to carry him out of the water after he's won the gold medal?
Yeah, and that's what I loved, because there was the sense, because he had the medal in the bag with one day to go, there was a sense it could have been like a victory lap, which essentially it was, but they're quite something, the sailors, you know. They still, I love them because they're a bit modern, but they're a bit old-fashioned.
Yes.
Hey, and don't they know how to celebrate? You know what I mean? I reckon that one would be still going. And if Matt Belcher wins today with Matt Ryan, it'll be double the party. But they're a really, they go through a lot, the sailors. They travel the world. They put a lot into their sport. It's very scientific in some ways and very old-fashioned in others. They say that, so all the data that goes into it, nothing beats a good natural eye, which they say Matt Wern had from the time he started sailing. So, yeah, it's a great story, that one, I have to say.
The extremes of the emotions that we're living, Crash, so the winning, and it's really, the winning is really something, but it doesn't end there, is Pat Tiernan on Friday night, the 10,000 collapses coming into the straight, peels himself up because you don't walk off the track at an Olympics. You finish the race. Sayo Sakakibara, who's in front heading for the final in the BMX, gets clipped, goes down, carried off on a stretcher in the aftermath. Like, the extreme emotional journey feels more intense. I'm sure that's to do with the times, but also the athlete's capacity to so selflessly share it with us, I think.
Oh, yeah. And the access to them has been good. And I think that, you know, we're seeing all sorts of quirky ones, aren't they? Like, I watched the high jump, the dead heat in the high jump last night with Qatar's Mutaz Barshim against Italy's Gianmarco Tamberi. They shared the gold medal. But, Jared, I'm going to put this to you. It's been portrayed as a great act of sportsmanship by both of them. And in a sense, it was. It was a gorgeous moment. But if I'm from New Zealand, you're from Australia, and we get offered this to share it, it's, to me, it's like being on a quiz show when you're offered the money or the box, you take the money. I can't gamble with a gold medal. Do you see it that way? If we're offered gold, is it more of a business decision in a funny sort of way than a great act of sportsmanship? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
If they hit the line together in a Melbourne Cup, they each get a Melbourne Cup. They don't ask them to go back to the 3200 and do it again. Why would you do it again?
Exactly. But I have to say that was one of the really electric moments because it was so unusual. And even the judge actually said to him, well, there is another way where I suppose. And that's all he said. And they were just jumping around the place. And I just think that Olympic Games need those sort of moments of unscripted madness where they take the sport somewhere it's never been before. What I like about this game, so you mentioned BMX, you know, and skateboarding. They're reconnecting the Olympics to a younger generation. Now, so when they get to Brisbane 2032, I hope that's still a theme. I mean, I love the traditional sports, and you know, we're going to watch, you know, we're watching the distance running and all that. But you've got to have a little dip for the future and for the kids. I think it's really important.
And the track. So, Rowan Browning, I think when when we go through everything that's happened at this game, so we'll do it next Monday, is winning a heat in the 100, that's going to last. And we were all there for the semi-final last night with the promise of what might be in 3 years' time.
Yep, we are. He's so debonair, isn't he? We had him on the back page on Fox Sports earlier this year and felt he was just about the guest of the year. You know, not just thoughtful, but a little bit cheeky, funny, and everything you can have. And what, it's terrific to think that athletics has a bit of a poster boy now. I would love to see him make the final. My one query on athletics, Jared, and I'll throw this one unscripted straight at you, is that I'm eternally fascinated by the fact that all of our, or 90% of our athletics records were set 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Melinda Gainsford-Taylor holds records. Debbie Flintoff-King, Robert DiCostella, Darren Clark. These are the names that bob up. Why, with the advances in diets, shoes and tracks, why aren't they all just blitzed? I don't know. Someone said to me it could be lack of competition. I don't know. Do you have a theory? It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. Has it been the struggle for first choice athletes while we've seen the professional codes explode?
I think that, and particularly in the women, because 20 years ago, like Kim Brennan, who won rowing at the last Olympics, had she been born a bit later, she would have been signed up for AFL or you know, I mean, they would have, all the professional football codes she would have had about three offers, I reckon. You know, it could have been netball, could have been anything. But the choices now, I think, are sabotaging our chances at the Olympics. But it's an interesting discussion. I think those, like Ralph Duval set the gold medal at the Mexico Olympics in the 800, and it took him 50 years to catch him.
Yep. I've got a hunch this track and field team might change the recent course of history, though, and maybe Peter Boll in the 800 is going to have a hand in that, and the future for Rowan Browning and what we see over the next few days is that this feels like a track and field team that might take us to great places in the near future.
Well, the Peter Boll story is a beauty. You know, coming to Toowoomba in Queensland, you know, I think at the age of 10, spending about 4 years there, then going to Perth on a basketball scholarship, if you can believe that, and only really hooking up with athletics as a 17-year-old, and then just going through the roof. And when he arrived in Queensland, Jared, he couldn't talk English. And he's gone from that to getting a university degree. I think it's not engineering, but a similar strand to it. And a professional speaker. So I just think, you know, what sort of story is that young lad? And so I think it'll be an enormous achievement if he wins the final. Some bookmakers have got him about 8-1, $8.
Yeah, a genuine medal chance. When we talk next Monday, Crash, will these have been Australia's most successful Olympic Games?
I think they will. They've got four more gold to beat Athens. And it's a great effort, Jared, because a lot of these gents and ladies and gentlemen are surviving on pride and peanuts. Their average wage, a lot of them, is about $25,000 a year. Try and win the Olympic gold on that. And that's why when you see these people, remember that they're surviving on fumes, on pride and peanuts. It's a great story. And so if they beat Athens and they'll defy gravity, but I think they can do it. They're 14 now and 8 even would take them past Athens to make them the greatest Australian Games of all time.
Enjoy. Good luck in lockdown, Crash.
Thanks, Jared. See you then. Bye.
Robert Craddock for the Doc. The Doc Shop can store, scan, or destroy your documents, protecting your privacy. TheDocShop.com.au. Very nice. Very nice indeed.